John chapter number 4. Of course, we read it for our scripture reading, and many of you are already familiar with the passage of scripture about the woman at the well and the Lord Jesus and his interaction with her and how he was heading from one place to another. And the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria, and he stopped there at the well and dealt with this woman. And I want you to notice in verse 7 that Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Verse number 9 says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." We see in this passage of Scripture, we're going to pray in just a minute and ask God's blessing on the message, but we see that there was a normal daily activity that this woman was going through, and Jesus was attempting to bring her from that which was normal and just a physical activity of the day and get her to think on spiritual things. There was a spiritual decision that Jesus was trying to get her to. And as you know, by the end of the story, she is telling others that she has found the Messiah. She had believed on Jesus. And of course, that was the decision that he was trying to get her to. And he did so by dealing with her situation right where she was, using an earthly illustration of her spiritual need. And I want to hopefully tonight use her situation to do the same thing with all of us. Because even though I realize this is a passage of scripture that we're talking about someone who did not know Christ, and you do, yet we can take application for our lives in this area that sometimes we are, although we know Christ, acting in much the same way that she was. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people tonight. Lord, thank you for giving me the privilege. But now, Lord, tonight, I need you. Lord, I always need you every single time I preach, but Lord, tonight it seems more than usual. Lord, you know the difficulty that I've had in deciding what to preach and, Lord, where to go with the message tonight and whether or not to preach one thing or another or three different things, Lord. I've struggled with that tonight. Lord, I believe this is what you'd want me to preach, and Lord, I feel very unprepared for it, but I pray that you would enable me. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would give me the ability to be clear, distinct, and brief with my words, and be able to get to the point that you've given to me, the things that you've taught me, that, Lord, I would be able to then teach others also. And then, Lord, that you would give the audience, those who are here, the congregation, Lord, would you give them ears to hear? Give all of us spiritual understanding. Do it by your Spirit. Please rebuke our enemy who would try to confuse, try to give doubt, try to distract. Please rebuke him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could title the message, I would title it this: Bring Them to Me. Bring them to me. And you'll understand that a little bit later on. But here in this passage of Scripture, of course, this woman is doing a normal daily activity, isn't she? She's bringing her water pot to the well, and she's going to go down to the well, and she's going to fill it up with water and take it back and use it for the needs of her household, if you can picture that in your mind. And by the end of the story, the Bible tells us that she left the water pot where Jesus was. And if you can just imagine that in your mind, you can almost picture that water pot just sitting at the feet of Jesus as she runs off to go tell the men that she had found the Messiah. But how did Jesus get her from that place in the beginning to the place where she understood and believed and was telling others that he was the Messiah? Well, he used her circumstances, her daily circumstances, to get her to think about spiritual things. Think about what she was doing. Again, something normal, bringing a water pot to gather water. That was a daily need that she had. We all need water, don't we? You and I just have the convenience of being able to turn on the tap and have the water come out. That's a blessing and a privilege, but in that day, of course, they didn't. They would have to go to the well and get the water that they needed. That's what she's doing. She's not doing anything evil. She's doing something normal and good and right. But Jesus says to her, first of all, give me to drink. And when she questions that, then he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. He references the fact that he could give her something living rather than something that is dead. Notice then that the woman basically in verse 11 is questioning him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep. Where are you getting living water from? And of course, he answers her in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Notice that he references the spiritual in answer to her physical question. You see, she was dealing with just daily her physical needs, and Jesus was trying to get her to recognize that her physical needs, although they're normal and right, that's not the real need that she had. The real need that she had was something spiritual. You and I know that as salvation, right? But let me make an application to you and me. Many times in our lives, what we're doing is we are saved, yes, on our way to heaven. Yes, what a wonderful blessing that is. We know the Savior, but we're going through our life focusing on the physical needs that we have. They may or may not be evil. But those are the things that we are using to try to fill the voids that we have. Those are the things that we're using to try to self-medicate the pain that we have or the discouragements that we have or the failures that we have. Those are the things that we're doing and going through as we go through life and we're just dealing in the physical. Many times for us, it's entertainment of some kind, one form or another, and we're going through the motions of trying to salve that which is hurt inside by just kind of filling our lives with entertainment. We waste time with those things. Or maybe it is even something wicked and wrong that we would be ashamed to tell anyone else of, but it makes the pain go away for a moment. We think about people in the lost world and even sometimes, sadly, Christians who do that with drugs and alcohol to try to fill the void that they have or the pain that's there, and they try to just use something on the physical realm to deal with the problems that are there. Christians do the same thing, usually not with drugs and alcohol, many times with, again, as I mentioned, entertainment or food or one thing or another that may or may not in itself be bad, but when it becomes the focus of our life and an idol to us, we're like this woman who's coming here to the well to try to fill a need that's there. And just like Jesus said to her, listen, if you understood who you were talking to, you'd ask him for living water. You wouldn't have to come back here. And it didn't mean that she wouldn't have to have water anymore. But that wouldn't be what her life was focused on. That wouldn't be what she was looking for to fill the void in her life. And then, of course, Jesus goes on in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, when we are saved, we know that to be the Holy Spirit living within us, don't we? And that Holy Spirit within us is that water, that well, that springing well of water that is living within us, and it's springing up unto everlasting life. Let me ask you this question. Are you satisfied with the well of water that God has placed within you, the Spirit of God? Does that satisfy your life, or are you looking to other things to satisfy your life? If all those other external things, the entertainment, the social media, the food and the caffeine and all those things that we medicate ourselves with many times, if all that was stripped away, could you be content? If the money, the clothes, the, you know, whatever it is that we use many times to fill the voids of our life, if those were all gone, could you be content? And if the answer is no, my friends, then that means that we're not reveling in that spring of living water that God has placed within us. We're not walking in the Holy Spirit. We're much like this woman at the well, although we are born again. And then you see what Jesus does is then she brings her really to the meat of the matter. because the issue was not about whether or not she would ever come back to the well to get water, because you and I understand, even after believing on Jesus as the Messiah, she was going to need to drink water. So she would have to come back. That's not really what Jesus was saying. There was a spiritual application. So he gets down to the spiritual application. Notice what he says to her. Verse 16, that Jesus saith to her, go, call thy husband and come hither. If I could put that in my own words, Jesus is saying to her, bring your husband here. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus was trying to get down to the root of the matter. See, the root of the matter, as I mentioned before, is not that she was getting water out of a well. There's nothing wrong with that, nothing sinful about that. But you see, Jesus was touching on the sinful part when he said, bring your husband hither, bring him here. Because you see, Jesus said that to her, and then she said to him in verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. And Jesus then responds to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. What was she doing with all of those men? Why did she have five husbands and was now living with a guy who was not her husband? Well, the answer is she was trying to fill her life, the void in her life. She's trying to satisfy herself with physical things, sinful things, not just water now anymore we're talking about. We're talking about something that is an abomination before God, something that's wicked before God. She was going about doing that which was wrong, trying to fill the needs in her life. And Jesus touched that nerve of her life and basically said, listen, bring that to me. And of course, she tries to change the subject in verse number 19 and verse 20. Jesus brings the subject back to the truth, starting with verse 21 and then all the way through verse 24. And then in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus said to her, I am the Messiah. And then I want you to notice at verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the, what's the next word? Men. Notice it doesn't just say the people of the city. Doesn't say she just went into the city and told her friends. She didn't go to her girlfriends. She went to the men. Why did God specifically choose that word? I believe that God is trying to show us that she went straight to the things that were her problems, the things that were her sin. And what did she do? She told them, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She was bringing her problems to Jesus. And when I say problems, I don't mean, you know, she had some bills and she was bringing her bills to Jesus and she was depressed and bringing her depression to Jesus. I'm saying that she was bringing her sin to Jesus. And friends, I think there's an illustration for you and me in this passage of Scripture that I believe would be very wise for us to see and for us to take, and that is this, that many times we're like this woman at the well. We're trying to fill our lives with the things of this world. We're trying to fill the void that's there because we're not reveling in the wellspring of living water that is within us. We're not walking with the Lord, and we're not getting our contentment and our satisfaction in him, and so we're filling it with those other things. And here's what Jesus wants us to do, the same thing he wanted this woman to do. Listen, go get those things and bring them to me. Bring them to Jesus. And friends, I believe that God would have us do that tonight. I believe that if there's something in your life that when I talk about filling the void with, you know, whatever it might be, some form of entertainment or social media or maybe even something inappropriate of some kind or, you know, again, food and drink and those kind of things that we use to make our lives happy. You know what God wants us to do with those things? He wants us to bring them to him. lay them at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I'm no longer going to use these things to make myself content. You've provided the contentment within me in the form of the Holy Spirit. My relationship with you is enough, and Lord, I want to give these things back to you, and I'm not going to use them to medicate myself anymore. I'm not going to use them to fill the voids in my life anymore. Lord Jesus, I'm going to know you, and I'm going to have you be my source of joy. I believe the Lord Jesus would want us to do that tonight, just like this woman at the well brought these men to Jesus. Bring them to me. Let's turn to a passage of Scripture, if you would. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Isn't that what the psalmist said in this very well-known psalm of Psalm 23? When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means God is my shepherd. He's providing everything for me. There's nothing I'm going to lack, not a thing, because he is providing it for me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? I don't have to eat the poisonous weeds that the world offers. God is feeding me with good things, the things that I need. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I don't have to drink from turbulent waters and waters that are churning and troublesome. I get to be in a peaceful place and drink from still water. He restoreth my soul. Others around me, their souls are in turmoil and up and down and here and there, but my God restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, my God is leading me and teaching me how to live a righteous life. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even when my God takes me through difficult times and scary times, I'm not going to fear anything. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even as I'm going through a valley of trial, the discipline and the chastisement of my God is a comfort to me because he's there. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of thy life. And then notice the last phrase, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what the psalmist says at the end? Listen, I am going to stay in a close relationship with God. I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to be in his tabernacle. I'm going to be in his house forever. And I wonder, do you and I say that, or do we just kind of go about our day? We do the religious thing. We do it on Sundays, maybe even sometimes on Saturday. We come on Wednesday night, and we do all those things. But the rest of the time, we're not getting our satisfaction from the Lord. We're getting it from the worldly things. Not even necessarily something evil, although perhaps something evil. But we're not really getting our satisfaction from the Lord, and we cannot really say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we were honest, we would say, the Lord is my shepherd, but I really need other things to make my life happy. Turn with me to one other passage of Scripture, if you would. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Lest we think that this is just an imaginary issue, I want to remind you of Matthew 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You remember this, right? This is right after his baptism. He's about to begin his earthly ministry, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It's a long time, isn't it? He was afterward anhungered. Now, I would say this about verse 2. Of course he's hungry. And I'm not being disrespectful to God's word. Yeah, he would be hungry after 40 days. In fact, you and I would probably tell him, Lord, you might want to get some food. Because 40 days is a long time. In fact, I know somebody who really harmed themselves long term because they fasted for 40 days. It's something that is miraculous to be done, and if somebody does it, they need to be under medical care. It's that big of a deal. So yes, he's hungered. You and I would say, Jesus, eat something. Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. provide yourself something to eat. Now, again, you and I would look at that and say, yes, Jesus, you need that. Now, we wouldn't agree with Satan. If Satan said it, we would obviously be somewhat questioning why he would want Jesus to eat. But at the same time, we would agree with him that there's a need for him to eat. Yes, you've been fasting for 40 days. Nothing wrong with eating after that. Jesus, you should. But Jesus doesn't respond with, no, I'm just going to go in and, you know, buy some bread from the local store. Here's how Jesus responds, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what Jesus was saying as he was quoting, I believe that's the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Jesus was quoting from. You know what he was saying with all that? He was saying, Satan, I don't need the things of this flesh and the things of this world, even the good things, even the things that are normal and right and God-given, I don't have to have those things. There's one thing that's needful, and that is the word that comes from my Father. What Jesus was saying there is, I'm going to reject this idea that, well, I mean, you got to take care of yourself first. I mean, if you're going to, after all, be useful for God, you've got to be comfortable. You see, that's the mentality and the thinking that you and I have. But that's not the thinking that Jesus had. Jesus understood what you and I fail to understand, that when the psalmist was talking in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it doesn't just mean when the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to have all the things my heart ever wished. It means the Lord is my shepherd, and everything my shepherd gives to me is exactly what I need. And if he has not given it to me, I do not need it. And Jesus was saying to the tempter there at the very beginning of his earthly ministry, if my Father has not willed that it's time for me to eat yet, then I do not have to eat. How does that apply to you and me today? Well, when we leave church and we maybe go home and fairly soon go to bed, and tomorrow we get up, there will be all kinds of things that want to jump into our life that we as Americans use, again, not necessarily evil, maybe evil, but we use them to bring contentment. And many of those things sometimes are taking the place of God. For instance, here's something that happens to Christians like you and me all the time. I battle with this. Get up in the morning, and I usually try to get up early, set aside time to read God's word and fellowship with him. And invariably, the temptation is early in the morning, as I sit and get my coffee, for me to open up my phone and just see what the latest news is. You know what that is? That's Satan tempting me with something that's not in and of itself bad, because I want to be informed. As a pastor, I kind of need to know what's going on in the world, right? But you see, it's trying to fill a void in my life rather than fill it with God. It's trying to fill it with other things. Or for some of you, and I know this is a battle, for some of you, it's a social media account. You just can't help but in the morning, first thing you get up, it's not open your Bible and talk to God. It's not even pray. It's you got to look and see if somebody paid attention to whatever post you had. You see, you're filling the void with other things. You're not satisfied with Jesus alone. And again, I'm with you, right? I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm saying we're often not satisfied with Christ alone. And so what God, I believe, would say to us is, hey, bring them to me. Bring those things to me and lay them at my feet and just test me and see if I'm not enough for you. Because, friends, if we'll seek Jesus, if we'll walk with him, he'll be enough. See, what Jesus was saying to the woman at the well in the beginning is, you're all concerned about this earthly water? Okay. But I've got a water that if you knew what I was talking about, you would be asking me for it. Don't you think Jesus would say that to us today? You're all interested in that social media account and the dopamine hit that you get from when somebody likes something that you put on whatever social media account, or the dopamine hit you get when there's a clickbait news story for you to look at, or, again, Sometimes, let's be honest, it's even things that are actually evil, right? A dopamine hit from looking at something we shouldn't be looking at. And Jesus says, you're all worried about that, and little do you know what I can offer you. And if you just understood the joy that's in my presence, when you really know me and walk with me, you'd be asking me, you'd bring those things to me, you'd lay them at my feet and say, Jesus, you can have these. I don't want them anymore. I just want you. Let me encourage you tonight, bring those things to Jesus and make him your all in all. And you'll be glad that you did. Let's pray, and then we'll let the ladies be dismissed to the Ladies Missions Fellowship. Dear Lord,